Hi, it's Michael Sinoff with Michael Sinoff's Hard to Find Seminars, and this is part three of the Glenn Osborne interview series. The title of part three is called Why You Should Never Try and Sell Prospects on Anything But What They're Already Buying. According to Glenn, whenever you call a prospect on the phone and try to sell them on anything except what they're already buying, they'll just hang up on you. Everyone wants to stay in their comfort zone, and they'll instantly tune anything out that asks them to do otherwise. So if you're selling consulting services, tell them that you can double or triple what they're already doing. Then, when you're in there, you can approach them with something new. And in part three of this interview, you'll hear how to do that, along with the hidden psychological trap you fall into every time you use the word proposal, and the only phrase you should use with clients instead. You'll see a step-by-step look at how one millionaire got 73% response rate on his fifth direct mailing after only getting a 1-2% rate on the other four times. You'll learn the fastest known way to get prospects to part with their money by feeding them their own pain and frustration. You'll hear exactly how Glenn sold his $500 newsletter subscription and a quick look at the elements that made them so sought after. You'll hear the easiest way to sell the phrases of an action plan. Do this and your clients will practically beg you to pay for the next step. You'll hear the two absolutely critical things you should look for in someone else's handwriting that may help you weed out backstabbers before they can pick up their knives. You'll also hear about the one book that has made Glenn more money than any other and the one money-making idea you'll be able to use from it right away. You'll also learn simple ways to troubleshoot a fail, depressing response to a postcard campaign, prospects not showing up for their appointments. They can all be fixed. You'll learn it all in this part three of my Glenn Osborne interview series. Now let's get going.
All right, so as I remember, we left off with telling you how I got into this. After I attended the Jay Abraham series of seminars, I went back to 15 events, so I would have spent like $300,000 or $400,000 with Jay. You figure airfare and 15,000, 20,000, 25,000 events. I went to a whole bunch of stuff to meet self-made millionaires. You'll laugh. I would have my suit on, right, because I was one of the worker slaves. So I would put one of my 20-page newsletters in the inside pocket. And somebody'd stand up and say, oh, you know, I found out a way to get 70% response after the fifth mailing to my list. And I'm thinking, wow. So I, you know, scurry to the back and say, what did you do? You know, he gets a round of applause and nobody asks any questions. So he said, well, you know, I was mailing this great offer and nobody was buying it, so I got disgusted and I crumpled it up into a trash can.
Did you go back to him with a microphone because you were helping out at the seminar?
No, not a microphone. I was running microphones and working behind the scenes. I do a lot of work with people. We did physical seminars and often we'll do conference calls now or online or phone.
But at that seminar event, he stands up and says, I figured out how to get 70.
Yeah, he says, I run a supercomputer store, you know, myself, and I had this great offer, and I mailed it 4 or 5 times, and I was only getting 1 or 2% response. So I figured out a way to get 73% response on the fifth mailing. Big round of applause. He sits down. Ah, what did you do? You know, so they have a break. I'm at the back of the room. I said, okay, what did you do? He said, well, I crumpled the sales letter up. I was so disgusted and threw it away. And I thought, well, what the hell? So he went to the trash can, straightened it out, stuck it in an envelope, and mailed it. And the guy bought. And he thought, ooh. So he went to his letter shop owner and says, can we fake crumpling all of these 8,500 mailings up? Yeah, sure, we can do that. Pulled 73%.
When he mailed it, how did he justify it in the mailings?
He changed the first sentence. He said, as you can see, this is all wrinkled up. That's because I was so disgusted. This is the best offer I've ever made in the last 10 years, and nobody's buying it. And I got, you know, really mad and threw it in a trash can. I thought, well, I'll give you one more shot. And then he would list the bullets, bing, 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 and you'd see the rest of the offer.
That's a great idea.
So I'm at the back of the room, you know, and I was the only one who found out, and I put it in a newsletter. And I'd also pulled my newsletter out, and I said, you had a great idea. You know, Jay Abraham has given me permission. I didn't tell him. 5 other people probably were doing it, too, to write a newsletter. I collect all this stuff up. People are making money, proven, tested. And would you be interested in, you know, subscribing? So he glances at the bullets, and he says, damn, been looking for something like this. How much? $500. Writes me a check. So I got most of my subscribers by going back to J. Abraham seminars. You know, I didn't do it in the room. I was outside. And I only went to people that had made money that I wanted to learn from, you know, that I knew could benefit. So I cherry-picked the best of the best at the events I was at. And I can't tell you the hundreds of people that have called me and say, Glenn, because I learned to, I say one thing at each seminar, great $100 million idea or something, and I shut up. Because we don't want to create any waves, right? Anyway, that's how I started selling my newsletter when it was in the envelopes.
And so you had about 100 paid subscribers.
Yeah, I probably got up to 100, 120 something. And then I got referred to a billionaire. Actually, I heard Dan Kennedy interview him. I was trying to find his name yesterday, and I can't remember his name.
What did he do?
At age 10, he overheard his parents talking to the doctor. And the doctor says, your son was born with a birth defect. His brain isn't properly connected, you know, it's not wired up correctly. So you'll have to support him his whole life because he can't learn. You know, he can't process information. There's something wrong. So he said he was so mad that he went to work and decided he would rewire his brain. They put together a bunch of exercises and started training. Well, he got the last laugh. By the time I talked to him, he'd built and sold 29 companies in 28 years.
What kind of exercises did he do for his brain?
Well, he's written books. I'll have to look up his name. I'll send you one of his books or something. But, you know, right off the top of my head, I got all this stuff. I remember the ideas and the stories. That's why the stories are important to me. But sometimes the names escape me. So, the upshot, he got the last laugh on the doctor. Here, one of the companies that he built, he sold for billions. He said he started selling insurance himself, and he got good. So he started a company and started hiring salespeople. And then he didn't like the fact that they were slacking off and not doing their jobs. And so he discovered through J. Abraham and other people direct mail.
Is it W. Clement Stone?
No.
Okay.
But I've got stories about him because one of my customers worked with W. Clement Stone. Did you know Clement Stone lived to be 100?
Did not know that.
Tough. And by the way, sued anybody that had Think and Grow Rich, any part of that, you know, because he owned the rights to all that. He bought up all of Napoleon Hill's products. So his association will still come after you if you use any of their headlines.
Interesting. All right, so this insurance guy, did you get him as a subscriber?
No, because he's, how do I describe this? He's semi-retired, and if he doesn't think of it, he's not doing it. I bought $400 or $500 worth of his stuff, which is how I got introduced initially. I heard about him on Dan Kennedy interview, called up and bought $400 or $500 of my stuff. And one of my other mentors, who's worth a couple $100 million, had said, Glenn, you need to name your business something with pizzazz, which is true. Interview a bunch of millionaires, so Millionaire Mastermind Marketing Association, right? So the billionaire calls up. Here's what he's doing. This is why you can't sell him stuff or work with him. He doesn't want to spend his own money for the book publishing. He's written a new book, but he doesn't want to spend money. So he called me up, says, Glenn, what I'd like you to do, I've got this new book, I've got a couple out, you know, he's written 5 or 6, and what I'd like you to do is buy a few hundred copies as gifts. And you can say, it's written by a billionaire, tell him something about me, and it's got information in the book. You need to thank and reward your top customers. I'd like you to buy a few hundred books, you know, at cost. And I said, well, tell me, could we talk sometime? Because apparently you know some people that I know. I name-dropped a few. He said, oh, yeah, I know those people. I said, did you know he's just made $100 million by doing this and that? He said, oh, we need to talk. He says, here's my home number. Ah, so I made sure. I said, what's a good time? And I called him back. But meanwhile, I go on eBay, and sure enough, a bunch of these people he soaked for 300 books. They don't have enough people to send it to, or they're too tight to mail it. So they're auctioning off their books. So I bought 10 or 20 of his books for $1, $2, $3 each.
What was the book called?
I can't remember. This is 15 years ago. And by the way, the book wasn't that good. If you look at it from my perspective, which is actionable ideas that you can make money with, I'll give you a book. Here's a book that's made me more money than all the other books I've ever read. How's that?
That's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger. So what you want to do is go on Amazon or somewhere and get a book by Koch, K-O-C-H. Guy's a genius. Some of his other books aren't as good, but this one, the 80-20 principle. He talks about gasoline following the 80-20 principle. And there's one idea in there that has made me a lot of money.
What?
Well, I'll share it. I've had people read the book and say, okay, Glenn, I can't find the idea. So he was working for a big consulting company like Deloitte and Touche, you know, one of those giants. And they were growing 4% a year. And he says they pay their consultants, this is important, based on getting new clients. Now, that sounds okay, doesn't it? You know, average. You get a new account, right? That's what they all do, right? Well, this guy, Koch, he somehow stumbled across a Midwestern consulting firm that was growing by 50 to 75% a year. Oh, my God. On his own initiative, he flew out there and spent a month. Maybe he took a job. I'm not sure how he did it. Eventually, I think he switched and started working for them. They didn't pay their consultants for getting new accounts. They said, at your current clients, we will pay if you add a second stream of income. In other words, you're in there. You know what you can do. So you're getting $100,000 a week for us with this project number one. Add a second project and a third and a fourth. He said, now, the benefit here is the big guys will take their number one top hitters and go out and get a new client. And they're all happy. Then they have to go back and try to save the ones that they left while they were getting new ones. And they hire a bunch of college know-it-alls. And I've had people complain to me over and over that they got a bunch of whippersnappers instead of who they thought they'd be working with. So nobody ends up happy. And they lose current clients and the new ones. When you add an extra stream of income, all right, now here's how I've adapted it. When I work with a new prospect, I do a quick overview. For example, I just found a lady named Jennifer. She owns three retail stores. And I found that she was focusing on one thing. She is a pharmacist. Right, so she's doing compounding. All of her interviews, all of her books, all of her training, all of her seminars, all of her website, everything is focused on this big, you know, she charges $150 for a consultation.
Did you say she's doing compounding or consulting?
Compounding. Compounding is women who get of a certain age, you know, go through menopause, or they've had an operation for a hysterectomy or something that messes up their metabolism. Well, then they get confused. They can't remember. They have chronic fatigue. They get all kinds of incredible symptoms because they've got too much estrogen or none, or too much progesterone.
So she's doing those bioidentical hormones. You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
Yeah, so she'll take blood sample and figure out where you're messed up and give you, they have artificial estrogen that creates cancer of the breast. It's been proven. So nobody's using that, but she has natural source. I'm not sure how it's done. And she's able to balance women. And there are tens of millions of dollars only selling compounding. Everything she talks, says, does. All right, so I'm working with a consultant.
Is she your client?
Not yet.
You're working on it. Okay.
Yeah, I got details so I can tell you how I do it. Now, I'm working with several consultants who work with retailers, and they say, okay, here's what I want. I've got a front-of-store system. I've got an employee training system. I've got two or three products that can get to $5,000 to $10,000 at 50% margin in the first 90 days. I've got nutraceuticals. I said, no, no, no. We want to sell Jennifer what she's already buying, what she's already spending money on. He said, no, no, I don't want to do that. I said, you're going to change a woman's mind? Not just women, it's men. People will only buy what they're comfortable with.
What is your client already buying?
Well, I work with a lot of consultants, and I help them get through the door, write an action plan. I balance it based on their personality and put it together for them. So suddenly they 10 times their income. A lot of times I can find a niche in a business and do a quick little 15-minute interview, and boom, 10 times more bottom line. So that's where I'm focusing right now. But anyway, so Jennifer, if you call and talk to her about anything but what she's already doing, she'll hang up on you, which is what happened to my client. I'm working with a pharmacy consultant. The pharmacies are under big pressure now, so it's a good market to sell to, but they're all going under. So you either have to hire somebody to fix it with systems, or, you know, you lose out. So that's good. But Jennifer is not returning his phone calls because she's only interested in compounding. So what you want to do when you talk to a prospective small business owner is say, what I'm going to do is double or triple or increase by 25% or whatever you can do what you're already doing. So you basically sell them what they're already doing. You know, you sell them what they're happy with and it's not working. So then when you get into the company and you start working, you'll find a few little things on the periphery that you can do some testing on, and then you come back and say, I'm terribly sorry, but we just made you $100,000 this week by accident, and it's not what you're comfortable with. Do you want to stop? Well, what do you think their answer is?
No.
No, 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 go ahead. Keep it.
Let me ask you this. Let's say I've got consultants out there talking to businesses, and they're trying to get clients. They're the consultant, and they're going to go in and identify unexploited opportunities where the client isn't maximizing their hidden marketing assets.
You've got a better way for them to do it. I've been doing this for 20 years. My goal was to be a mini Jay Abraham. So because I have a newsletter that requires content, I do a lot of free coaching. A lot of my free coaching turns people into clients, or I get referrals to people who do become clients. So you know, it doesn't go to waste, but a lot of people aren't willing to do that. So here's what to do instead. Came across a guy at a $25,000 seminar that was writing $750,000 proposals. Now, he called it an action plan. He said the word proposal inside the word tells you that the client might say no, because you're creeping up to the guy tentatively, timidly saying, we propose, sir, that you do this, right? He said, no, no, don't want to do that. Says, I talked to a guy who makes $25,000 a day, and he says, forget the proposal. Do action plans, because people like to think of themselves as action-oriented. All right, so I don't write proposals anymore, you know, action plan. Number two, he figured out a way to get a prospect to pay him before he's been hired. Interesting.
Very.
Yep. So suppose he meets him at a networking event, or he calls him on the phone because he reads about him in a trade magazine, or, you know, however you come across these people. All of mine are by referral, but whatever you do. So you call him up and you ask a few hypnotic trance questions. It's NLP. Walter Haley, my $400 million mentor, says you cannot succeed in selling and business today without NLP. Well, that's pretty, you know, cut and dried. So anyway, guy's name was Ken. And the man's a genius. He's a former hippie. He said when he was young, he used to put a globe in his room, turn the lights off, smoke a little wacky weed, and watch the funny lights. Anyway, he's working at Hewlett Packard, and he comes up with this idea of interviewing each team and figuring out what each person on the team wants and figuring out why they're all pulling in a different direction and getting them all moving in the same area. So then he innovated, and they made a bunch of money with it. He created his own job, basically, at HP. They need him back there, from what I'm looking at. So he started as an independent consultant. All right, now I hear this over and over again. He hired somebody to help him, and apparently his first wife or girlfriend or something was also doing consulting with him, and he went on vacation, and they pulled a truck up. He'd given a couple points of stock. So he no longer had 51% of his own company. So his partner and his girlfriend pulled a truck up to his house and emptied his office of everything he'd created in the last 20 years. And then he found himself competing for the same customers. Said he wiped the floor with them. Just because they have the paperwork doesn't mean they have the fuel, right? So here's what he does. And we've created a product that he still sells to this day. And people call me, I need to create my version of this now that I think of it. I got all this stuff in my head. I got 61 products, but I can't do it fast enough. So here's what he says. You're talking to somebody and he says, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how happy are you with your business? If you had a magic wand, you know, and you could do anything, make any change, make any improvement, what would you do? Pick one. You know, so he's got the guy up in the air in his fantasies, right? Emotions, thinking about what his dream would be. So inevitably, he starts whinging. That's an Australia term for bitching and moaning, whinging.
When he's thinking of what his dreams would be, he starts whinging?
Yeah. Every single time when you do this, they won't tell you just, in fact, more than 50% of the time, they'll tell you something negative that they hate about their business. When you ask them, what would you change? What would you improve? What do you really want? Sometimes it's 100%. Now, if you're a certain kind of person, you need both. If you're going to convince somebody to part with their money, You need to make the pain worse, and you need to show them something that works for one of their peers or competitors. He'd get some of this out of them. Now he'd say, okay. He said, I'd like to write something up and send it to you. So he puts it on a page, and he faxes it or emails it or leaves it on their voicemail. And he says, okay, we got a platinum version, we got a gold version, we got a silver version. Basically, what you're telling me is wrong with your company, I can fix, guaranteed, or I'll refund everything. But the platinum version, I need to fly out there and interview the people on your team, people at your company. Got all these salespeople, and they're not doing what you say, and I can fix it. Now remember, he's working at the billion-dollar company level. So he'll say, I have to fly out and talk to the people on your division because you're not meeting your goals, and all of you guys are about to lose your million-dollar, you know, incentive for meeting the profit goals that are set this year. So these guys, it's not their money. So they say, okay, how much? You know, it's $25,000 to fly them out and interview these people. Now the gold version would be do it on the phone. The silver version, he'd write the questions, and they would deliver it to each of the people on the sales team or the division head team, and then he would do a conference call. The platinum version, he actually does an off-site and diagrams all of the different people and explains, okay, you, Mr. Division Head, you want to go north, but you don't realize that the people that you're talking to, they want to go south, east, and west. I won't tell you who, but here's where they're going and why. And you aren't communicating accurately. So here's some suggestions on how to fix it. But it worked with a lot of other clients. So you get 25 grand. Guess what? By interviewing all of the top people at this division or company, which is what I do. You know, you talk to the president. He's got a big problem, you know, in this or that or his main income stream. You find out more about their business than the owner knows. Then you write a 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 action plan, which is what I do now. And you put it in phases, you know, phase one, phase two, phase three, and you get a big retainer fee. Usually I can come up with something that'll make them six figures before they pay me. Now, do I get stiffed? Yes.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. So you give them the whole action plan, you spill your beans before you get
paid?
Give
them the action plan, but each of the segments is a cliffhanger. They can't do it without me, but I give them an idea that pays for the retainer fee that I'm asking before I start work on the three ideas, double, triple, you know, it's a lot more than they would pay me for a retainer. Now, do I get stiff sometime? Yeah.
However, so give me an example of how you've gotten stiffed. You don't have to name names. So
one of the top attorneys in California is doing living trusts. And I got referred to him, and he said, okay, I got a big problem. None of my customers are opening the mail that I send them. So can you fix it? I said, yes. You know, so I charged him 50 grand. He paid me, I think it was $15,000 retainer fee. I had done something for him that he was really excited about, so he paid me 15 grand.
Did you do something for him first before you got your 15 grand retainer?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You gave first and then built some credibility and value.
Yeah. People were coming to his living trust seminars, and they'd make an appointment, and more than 60% of them weren't showing up for their appointment, which was costing him millions. So I fixed that for free. We're talking millions of dollars. I designed a hypnotic, inside-their-brain, four-sided business card that answered the questions. You know, I talked to some of these people and discovered the reason they weren't coming. They'd be talking to a neighbor and say, what? You're about to pay $5,000 for a living trust? I got mine for $500 or $1,000. And so they'd say, oh, I better not go to this appointment. It's too much money. But now they pull out the business card and it says, well, here's what I get on my living trust. And the person, the relative or the neighbor would say, oh, my God, I don't get all of that. And it doesn't upgrade every year either. Who's this guy? What's the phone number? So actually, we turned the seminar business into a referral system. So he was really happy. So he paid me 15 grand to fix his mailing problem. What he was trying to do was sell him stuff. And the people weren't opening the envelopes that said, okay, we have a change in the law. We have to upgrade your living trust. They were throwing everything away. So, you know, the answer is pretty simple. After I talked to some of them, we started writing a newsletter about what his retired customers wanted most. Three things. And I've applied this for the last 10 years. Even the guy stiffed me for the rest of the 50 grand. But We found out that retirees want, number one, to know what other retirees are doing to make money after they retire, more than anything else. So if you and I wanted to start a newsletter that would blast off and make $1 million a month, all we have to do is collect money-making ideas from retirees and put it in there. Big money. Two, they want to know, because they're getting older, their tongue and palate is getting bored. They want to know where they can go locally or when they travel to get better food. You know, new, different, exciting, different tasting recipes and food. They want to eat out. Number three, they need to buy stuff for their grandkids and people. So they're looking for places to get new, exciting, different toys and stuff for the kids. Number one, two, three. So I wrote a series of newsletters. You know, he started mailing them, and we had a stamp on the outside of the envelope. They were getting opened. Before he paid me for, you know, the next segment, I started the retainer. He said, oops, we had to buy furniture for the office and can't afford to pay you this month. And I thought, okay, I'm hearing trouble. So I called and charmed one of his receptionist ladies, and he said, well, you know, we had a vote. And he said, would you like to pay the consultant or would you like new furniture? So we all voted on new furniture. And I thought, oh, you bastard. Now, today that would never happen because I have an instant handwriting system, which if you find somebody with, by the way, our former President Clinton had this in his handwriting. If you see anybody who's got O's and A's with big loops, you know, double loops, means pathological liar. Means they couldn't tell the truth if you dangle them out a window. Threatened to drop them.
O's and A's.
So, yeah, O's and A's if you have a double loop inside. Now, a lot of people have tiny little loops because you don't tell the truth about everything. That's okay. You know, everybody has little secrets.
Is this a cursive A?
Cursive O's and A's. Capitals and small. If they cursively write them, never do business with that person. They can't control how they write. So there's 30 other health traits like that, and Walter Haley, my first golden rule mentor, used that on everybody. He says, you can destroy yourself. If you marry someone like this, you have a customer, you have a client, a vendor, and he's been right.
How do you get a sample of their handwriting?
Don't need it. You just tell them you'll do a fun handwriting personality profile over the phone and go through a whole bunch of nice stuff, and you include some of the health trait letters in it. You don't tell them the bad stuff. They're happy because they got a whole page full of compliments that are deadly accurate. So this is for beginners and people who don't have any surefire way. Works great.
But if you're doing it over the phone, how do you see their letter formation?
You want me to analyze your handwriting over the phone? I can do it right now.
Okay.
All right, so write a few sentences on a blank page or whatever you got, or unless you have some handwriting cursive in front of you. So you write a sentence about something. Choose, I don't care. And then sign it. Tell me when you're ready.
I got it.
Okay. On my audio CDs, which is, you know, hundreds of case studies where I'm actually doing this, you know, with real people, so you can see how it's done. You ask questions like, when you look at your handwriting and you look at the lowercase O's and A's, do you close the loop?
Okay. I'm looking at my A's. I did not close my A loops, but my O, so I have two O's that were closed. No, the A's I did not close. There's three of them I did not close.
Okay, that means that you tend to be talkative. Now, if you are talking to somebody who closes all of their lowercase O's and A's, that person is very tight-lipped and probably either shy or really standoffish.
Interesting.
I'm like you. I have some of my O's and A's open, some of them closed. So that means, depending on who you talk to, if you know them, you'll be a chatty Cathy type. Mm. If you don't know them, that means you're rather reserved until you get comfortable, right?
That would be accurate, yes.
Okay. All right, so look at your eyes. How close have you dotted your eye to the trunk of the lowercase
I? I've got one I in this sentence, and it's pretty close, actually, very close.
All right. That means you're good with details. You'd make a good CPA. The closer you dot your I's, I dot my I's like half an inch away. Bing, 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 you know. I can force myself to do detail work and have gotten good at it, but I'm better with bigger picture things. Oh, another thing that goes, did you write on a blank piece of paper or lined?
I wrote on a blank piece.
Perfect. All right. Does your handwriting, is it level across the page, or is it sloping from left to right, or is it sloping up?
It's level, and it's sloping towards the right.
Based on that, we combine the fact that you dot your I's close to the trunk, and if you write pretty level on a blank sheet, that means you try to get things right the first time. You're sort of a perfectionist. So if I'm communicating with you, and I did this correctly without even doing your handwriting, I sent you a list of 15 stories that you could look at, you know, as we talk. We haven't talked about many of them because you insisted on, how did you get started, Glenn?
That's okay. That's all right.
But, in other words, it changes the way that you deal with people because you can tell enough about their personality to change the way you would normally communicate. You can close clients and get money from people that you would never ever be able to succeed with because they communicate differently from you. So let's get another one here. Are your O's and A's and smaller case letters about the same size? How tall are your words?
They're about the same size. It's all pretty even. My A and O is very close.
So are the lowercase O's and A's the same height as the capital and the L's? And
they're smaller.
Okay, good. A lot of people, especially receptionists and young people, will tell you that the L's and T's and lowercase O's are the same height. That tells you they're either very young or very immature, and they're always in trouble because they can't predict the results of their ramifications of their actions. So if you're hiring somebody, a lot of my customers call me before they hire a new person because we need to do a quick handwriting analysis. There's something weird. In Europe, you can't get a job without a professional handwriting person checking to make sure you're going to be a good link, a good fit with the rest of the team.
All through Europe, they really integrate this?
Yep. In the United States, nobody's ever heard of it. So anybody who uses handwriting over here, you're considered a superstar.
Well, what about all the people who are losing their ability to write because of technology and computers, and they're not teaching it in schools? And
if you're doing it, you say, I can only do your handwriting if you write in cursive. So a lot of people will only print, you know, and I say, okay, so you can find a few things, but not as accurate as cursive. You got to have them write something. So once in a while, you come across somebody who says they can't write. All right, well, then I have other ways of getting to it, and that's another couple stories. So last point for handwriting. How big and wide and long are the loops on your Y's, G's, J's?
They're not exaggerated. You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
All right, so are they bigger than the rest of the height of the letter, or are they like a quarter inch long, or, you know, how big?
A loop going down?
Yeah, the loops that go down.
They're about twice the length as a lowercase letter.
All right, excellent. All right, well, the larger and longer the loops on the Y's, G's, and J's, the more energy the person has. I often can tell people, I say, you need to exercise or walk. You need more exercise. Now, somebody who's tired and sickly and shows up in their handwriting is not a good client, so they won't do diddly. For somebody that's got more energy, yeah. Really important if you're doing any kind of communication or selling, you know, with business-to-business or consulting, whatever. If you're talking to some tired person, not a good prospect. They don't have time to do extra, you know, and consulting requires extra. If they have the money and they paid you and then you discover this, well, then you need to hire somebody or work with somebody else inside the company because it won't be them. Anyway, this is how you read minds and figure out whether they're a good prospect and what they're good at and how to write their action plan to get them to send you money.
That's very interesting.
Well, I don't know of anybody but Walter Haley that was doing this. I've not come across anybody else. He died recently, so I really miss him. I could call him up with any catastrophe, and he'd been there, done that, and had good advice.
Have you been able to get some really large retainers with some of your clients?
Yeah. I don't write anything but six-figure stuff now.
So if you're going to write for someone and you have a client, you're going to ask for at least $100,000?
Yeah. Why do it for less? Because I can do a conference call with somebody in an hour. I'll find 5, 10, 15 ideas that can 10 times their income. Okay, so you get 10 ideas 10 times, we talk about 100 times more. So then it's, okay, how do we find something that you can multiply without hiring a bunch of employees? We try to find the high leverage stuff and focus on that. My first 10 consulting clients, I blew the doors off. You know, they made so much money so fast, I get fired. So eventually you wise up and say, okay, we're going to grow them 10 times or give us massive stream of income, we need to figure out what niche we can start in and do it so that they don't fire me because they can't keep up. You get a phone call and say, we're good for the next 10 years. You know, you're fired. Thank you very much. But by the way, don't like that.
So how do you do it now? You get a nice retainer up front, and how do you ensure that you're going to be compensated?
Well, remember, I just gave you some advice about how to do it. So suppose I get referred to somebody. I found a guy down in Florida who was doing, he called them pub crawls. He'd find some restaurants, and he would convince them to give away to his group that he's bringing around within walking distance on that block, give away a sample of the main entree, maybe a drink and something alcoholic, you know, so he'd be a little inebriated. So then he would sell 20, 30, 50 people, get them to meet at the same time, and he would take them on this pub crawl. Right? So when I met him, he was charging, I don't know, like $5. He'd get $5 profit. He was doing it in cahoots with something else. So I told him to triple his price and start asking people for testimonials. So he had two sales that he wasn't making. So we 10 times his income. He wrote me a testimonial. And one thing, and we put this on an audio CD that he can now hand out or send as an MP3 to prospects. Instead of one-on-one selling people to his pub crawl, doesn't do that anymore. We do interview them and send a page full of testimonials proving that people who visit will come back and spend money. You know, so that gets people to sign up from the restaurant side. Here's what he does now. He goes to a school that needs to do fundraising. Goes to a high-rise, upscale building manager who needs a incentive when people spend $15,000, $20,000 a month on an apartment or a condo. He needs a bunch of incentives, you know, bonuses. He goes to a charity or a nonprofit and puts together a huge series of pub crawls for all of their list. So he's now, instead of putting 20, 30, 50 people, he'll sign up a couple thousand at a time for his business. And he gets $35 instead of $5. So, you know, he's a happy camper. But I said, okay, we leverage. Instead of you visiting, we just mail this thing or call him on the phone. So, you know, he's a lot more effective that way. There's an example of a recent one. I also did this with a magician. Found out he had two back-of-room things that he was doing at his magic shows. We found 10 more magic tricks. One of the things I do, I work with a bunch of magicians, and we need grabbers. If you're going to do public speaking or sales, you need a way to get people awake. So magic is really helpful. All right, so we started promising to talk to people about how Steve Jobs sells.
Yes.
So we're back to Randy. Our first interview, we were talking about Randy, the Black Ops retired CIA operative. Randy was a genius. I mean, he was able to do stuff with software that I've never seen before since. He could go to my website and do a couple things with software and tell me the previous five websites that people visited before they came to mine. Well, that's valuable when you're doing joint ventures and where they went. So Randy, one of his part-time things he was doing, had this little website. He bought an Apple. He loved it. He mastered it. And have you come across any software where you put the cursor up on the right-hand corner and the page sort of curls over as if you're turning the page?
Yes, I've seen that.
Randy wrote the code for that.
Interesting.
Yeah, nobody ever thought of it. He literally had a book you could buy virtually that you could turn the pages of. And it's not out there yet. The Kindle should be using it, you know, but I don't think he ever sold it. So somebody stole it, and it's getting out there a little bit.
That's the end of part three of our Glenn Osborne interview series. Please continue to our final part, number four.